Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us to our friends around the world. We are all partners in freedom. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, we have some interesting things that we need to look at here. Was the pandemic and its subsequent treatments, were they designed to euthanize people? Oh, my goodness. Listen. We're not going down conspiracy road. We're going to be talking about real scientific studies in the UK. And then we're going to link it into here with things I've seen and why I rewrote my medical directives on my health trust. Welcome. Glad you're here. Hey, we have a great sponsor. It's called My Patriot Supply. And if you're not willing to do this, you're willing to say, I trust Bill Gates control the food supply. I trust the Chinese buying up all the farms. And I certainly trust Biden to take care of my food needs should we get in trouble. If that sounds like a bunch of hooey to you, well, then you need to get your storable food right now. My Patriot Supply, best pricing, best delivery, best tasting, 2,000 calories per day, lots of diversity in the food so you won't get sick of eating the same thing. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. All right. We have an interesting situation. And the interesting situation is this. New study out of the UK, and it's called the paper is entitled Excess Deaths in the United Kingdom, Midazolam and Euthanasia in the COVID-19 Pandemic. And this was printed in the Medical and Clinical Research Journal. So we're not talking nonsense here. Now, in the study, and it's not yet been peer reviewed, so I need to make sure I say that, okay, because I am honest when I report research, unlike the federal government. But there's enough meat there to say we need to be looking at this full-fledged. It never will get touched, trust me. The author of the study, Wilson Tsai, said that while the injections and the excess deaths were highly correlated, the data is not yet synchronous. In other words, they reported the deaths after midazolam was introduced about a month after the fact. That was done on purpose. That's how you skew your data. Listen, I know all the tricks. Now, there was a high correlation coefficient of 0.91. And the 0.91 says excess deaths lagged within a 1 month period after midazolam injections were given in 2021, which correlated to high death spikes. So we have correlated data, which is enough to say, hey, we need to exhume some corpses and start doing some real research here. Now, that will never, ever happen. The author expressed concerns that the National Health Service in the UK, okay, abused palliative care for coronavirus patients and unilaterally made the decision to euthanize them. Now, I'm not surprised. Alex Schadenberg up in Canada, who I've interviewed, has talked about much of the same stuff. And I agree with Alex. This is going on. They're euthanizing people in the U in Canada right now. For what? For being mentally ill, for being depressed, for having something other than a terminal disease. There's no excuse to ever take a life. Now, let me explain to you why I'm concerned. My friend, the first attorney for the frontline doctors, Tom Rentz, he was on my show a number of times. He had to save lives. Somebody had contacted him locally and say, hey, they're trying to kill my husband. They're insisting on tubes, respirator, remdesivir, and we know this is correlated to death. We do not want this. We want a second opinion. And Tom would have to go get a court order and get this stopped. There were actual emergency rooms that were forcing patients to take what would end up being terminal care. How many times it happened? I don't know the answer to that, but do I know what happened? Yeah, Tom Rentz knows it happened. So we've done some of that here too. And here's the deal too, ladies and gentlemen. Who's to say when there was COVID and you can't even have family members coming in and checking? I'll give you an example. My mom fell in the hospital one time, and I came in, my sister and I came in about 6 a.m., found her on the floor. We asked her what was the last time she remembered, 11 o'clock. She laid there all night. Where were the nurses' rounds? Where were they? She was there hours. IV splattered. And because this was in Colorado, you can't sue. They could literally cut both legs off one at a time, cut both arms off one at a time, and then kill you, and there's nothing you could do about it. That's Colorado, abusive. But with that kind of crap going on in our medical system, I've said this too. I ain't going to no damn hospital. I'll die at home. Hospitals are where you go to die, not where you go to get well. And I saw abuse after abuse in COVID. Who? New York City. How are these people not in prison? Let's take elderly COVID patients and congregate them into a single facility. You see my point? So maybe we should start looking at studies like this and say, hey, we can't move on and trust our medical profession. And by the way, you saw today, Dr. Phil came out with Joe Rogan. Did you see this? Every medical agency is endorsing cutting kids' genitals off before the age of decision. Need I say more? Your medical system broke, woke, a joke, and will one day cause you to have a stroke and you'll be 6 feet under. Do not trust them. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thank you so much for being with us. Hate to be so blunt, folks, but it's time to speak truth to power. Ladies and gentlemen, the potential for abuse from the IRS has never been greater. And I'm not casting aspersions ahead of time. I'm saying the potential lies there. And given the history of this Lois Lerner organization, yeah, that's why I mentioned her name, you need to be aware going into tax filing season. And I have some feelings that I want to share with you. And I hope that you take this seriously because I don't want to see anyone in my audience go down this path where they get everything confiscated. We'll get into it all right here on the Common Sense Show. Hopefully, this voice is going to hold out. I feel better than I sound, probably than I look. You can see the fever blisters on my lips. Never have had those before, but I'm done whining. Let's get some work done. Hey, we're brought to you by Noble Gold. Noble Gold is the best there is at protecting your assets, particularly your retirement. Most of you, if you're over 40, 45, you can't afford to start over. Dodd-Frank 2010, banks can take your money. You're an unsecured creditor. Totally illegal, totally unconstitutional, but they've made it the appearance of legal so they can steal what you have. So don't let them do it to you. Noble Gold can extricate your retirement from any banking instrument, put it under your control, and then back it with gold, which has held its value for 6,000 years, and they can do something very similar for your bank account. Don't become a victim because corporate deposits in banks over the first quarter, you know what they're down? 50%. Now, I have to give a warning. Past performance is not indicative of future performance, and every investment carries an inherent risk. We agree with giving the warning. We do. But I will tell you this, I've been a customer of Noble Gold for almost as long as I've been an advertiser, 6.5 years. And I thank God I found them every single day because I sleep better at night knowing I'm well protected. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. And I'll send you a free information packet electronically. Or if you feel the sense of urgency that a lot of people do, call them directly today. Tell them I told you to call. 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. Don't be a victim. Do this today. All right. You remember Lois Lerner? We're going to audit taxes. Who are you auditing, Lois? Oh, just the big corporations. And then we found out she was going after Tea Party members. Yeah, people who weren't on in line with the Communist Party, we call the Democratic Party and the Rhinos. She was prosecuting them over nothing and persecuting them over less. She was someone who should have been sent to prison for abuse of power. Folks, I'm telling you what, I hope to goodness Trump gets in, cleans house, and we can start sending these criminals that have wrecked so many lives to prison themselves, like the J6 prisoners, guards, denying cancer medication, keeping temperatures at 50 degrees, crappy food, no blankets. They need to be in prison. We need to clean this out. But anyway, to the point, Agent Menya, IRS, listen, God bless you, sir. Seriously. God bless you for telling the truth. He said, you know, we have no problem targeting small income people. Well, wait a minute. Isn't the IRS saying we're only after those who make 400,000 or more a year? No, that's not true. They'll go after if you make less than 40,000 a year. And Agent Menya said this very, very well. He said, you know, you remember your first life you destroy. When you seize their assets, seize their home, seize their bank account. He said, you remember that. But after you've done 100, it's like shooting one person. You remember your first, but you don't remember the next 100. Is that crazy? Is that crazy? But this is what we're doing. And it's been uncovered now with interviews with various journalists. And ladies and gentlemen, as we go into tax filing season, you got a big problem. They're targeting anything they can do to get money, and they will love to target the right. Oh, and they're using AI to do it. They're going through your bank account as you listen to these words. They're going through your bank account right now, looking for any signs of logarithmic inconsistency in your reporting. Now, can people make mistakes? Yeah, you might make a $10 mistake and it ends up costing you everything. These people are clueless in many cases. If they were any good, they'd have a job in the private sector making three times the money. Uh-oh, did I just put a bullseye on my back? Not all IRS agents are created alike. Anyway, having said that, you need to be careful about some things. I'm telling people to get your money the hell out of the bank and replace it with precious metals for a good reason. Okay, but you got to be careful how you take your money out of the bank. If you do three, just under $10,000 a month, you may not know the law about structuring. They can come and get you. You're done. You're guilty of structuring. Doesn't matter if you meant to do it. You're not a trafficker. You're not an organized criminal. You're not into racketeering. But if you do that, you structure. What's structuring? Taking out just under $10,000 a month for 3 months or more. You're in trouble. Also, CTR, cash transactions, you got to be careful how you take your money out of anything. So I'm telling you right now, they are after people for anything they can get, anything, anything. And a $20 mistake can become a $5,000 fine. So I'm going to urge you right now, try to use professional tax preparation if you can. Number two, make sure that you check your figures and recheck your figures and you're as accurate and as honest as possible. Because some people get away with being tax cheats. Well, the elite do, but that's how the game's played. At your level, our level, you got to cross the T's and dot the I's. If you don't, you go to jail. I actually had a high school student one time. This was so bad. This is what a bunch of buttholes Arizona government is. Her parents purposely underreported taxes. They did it. It amounted to about $30,000. What? That's it? Yeah. And this was the only child. And they sent both parents to prison for 2 years at the same time. They couldn't stagger the sentences. Oh, no. Couldn't do that. So this girl had to go from family to family to family. We're able to get her some help. But that's the conscience of the IRS. State level, federal level, I don't care what level you're talking about. My image, honestly, sorry, I hate to be so pejorative in my statements, but I think they'd sell their mother down the river for a nickel. And you say, why do they go after the little people so hard? Because it all adds up. The money they collect, they get bonuses, better office furniture, promotions. They get rewarded for exploitation. When you walk in for your audit, you're already guilty. You're in a Napoleonic system of justice. It's not, I'm innocent, you have to prove me guilty. You walk in, you're already guilty. You already have a lien on your stuff by the time you walk in many times, and they'll take it. You have to prove I didn't do anything wrong. You didn't pay it. Well, this is what the code says. Well, I paid this on this date. Here's the canceled check. Yeah, I'm telling you, folks, don't mess around with this because this could get really, really ugly this tax season. This is Biden's hopefully final push to abuse America First people. And they're going to go after MAGA. If they're using AI to go through your bank account, are they not using AI to know your political affiliation? Well, of course they do. They know what websites you go to, they know how long you stay there. And they go, oh, yeah, CNN, 30 minutes. Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show, 27 seconds. Okay, well, you're probably safe. But if you flip those numbers, I think we should look at their tax return. Anyone that follows that Hodges character, you know they're cheating on their taxes. And so they launch an investigation against you. And they love to win. Have you checked out our TV show? The Common Sense Show.tv. People love it. We're getting 5-star ratings and we bring in experts and we talk about various and sundry topics. A lot of them have to do with what we're going through right now, unprecedented abuse from our government, horrible economy, world situation, all the nonsense that we're going through, the pseudoscience, everything else. And then we tell you, okay, now that you kind of understand it, here's the things you can do about it. Solution-based. People love it. 5-star ratings, the Common Sense Show.tv. That's the commonsenseshow.tv. I think you should sign up today. I think you'll benefit a lot from it. We get rave reviews from it. It's growing. And we may end up putting all our stuff on there one day. Why? Because we own the platform. They can't take it from us. It's a novel idea. That's the route we're going to have to end up going. Because right now, everything's being bought up by George Soros and the media. We'll see you back here next time. God bless.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. You can hear my voice is back, not out of the woods yet, but thank you for all your well wishes. I think I'm headed in the right direction. At least I sound like myself, even if I don't look like myself, but that's okay. We're here to deliver a message. Message and news you can use to apply to your life to get through these horrible times where humanity is being subjugated by the very evil and their minions. The people that serve in Congress, not really. They're not the controllers. They're the greedy, selfish minions that are coming after us on behalf of their globalist benefactors. And this show is dedicated to showing you the ways they're doing it and helping you to counter what it is they do. Along those lines, we represent My Patriot Supply. Bill Gates, we did a show on this, I said yesterday too, about Dr. Jason Dean on the Saver Company and Bill Gates. I wouldn't eat this stuff for $1 million. The food supply is going to get dangerous, and Bill Gates is primarily behind it, them and China. So what do you got to do? You got to have your own storable food to get through. And if you haven't started, there's no time like the present because you can stave off disaster if you start now. Go to preparewithdave.com for restaurant quality food, 2,000 calories a day because you're eating to survive. And not only that, you're going to find this stuff is really good. So I can live on this. And no one can take it from you because you're going to bury it. You're going to hide it. You're going to preserve it. And you're not going to let anybody else know you've got it. I wouldn't even tell children until it's time to break it out. Go to preparewithdave.com for great savings. That's preparewithdave.com. Question on hand. Will Donald Trump have a secret financial benefactor who will ultimately save his campaign? He is facing, by my estimation, going on $500 million of personal fines. First of all, these judgments are ridiculous. And to the lady here, the defamation, just remember, we live in a universe of duality and karma. That's my warning to you. Touch that money and you'll suffer the plagues and curses that go with behavior like that. Secondly, the judge in New York,
Victimless crime. Victimless crime. Oh, wait a minute. Not a crime because real estate values fluctuate. And that wasn't proven in court that there was fraud that could be disassociated from normal real estate fluctuation. Total bogus, total over zealous enforcement, trying to seize property of a defendant prior to appeal. Are you kidding me? Communist Russia, is that right, New York City? This judge, he will suffer too. The universe will take care of him. Now, having said that, Trump is in desperate financial straits. He's facing roughly half of his party leadership or uniparty, and they're not going to support him. Okay, they are not going to get behind him. And he's going to suffer terrible fund loss. How is he going to make that up? It's a good question. He needs benefactors. Now, the leadership team on the Trump campaign has been desperately trying to find an infusion of cash. Have they found it? Will they find it? I believe his campaign depends on it. But I'm going to also say this too. I'm going to step aside, do a corollary. Trump's life has never been more in danger with the professional prostitute of the military industrial complex, Nikki Haley, dropping out. They have no alternative. His life is in danger. If they can't get him legally, then it's time to start making the JFK comparisons every day. We need to raise, watch, this will be the next thing that'll be banned on YouTube. Can't talk about Kennedy. Why do you think the CIA doesn't want the Kennedy files fully released? Everybody that was alive at the day that was part of the assassination, including Alan Dulles, why do you think that they want to block the release of this information? Because they don't want any eyes back on them when they feel they got to do to Trump what they did to Kennedy. And I'm just saying, we need to, when we get to this point, begin to explode this topic. We need to make it so obvious, so apparent, that they don't even dare try. Okay, now I'll regress back into what I'm saying. Will Trump find a financial donor? It appears as if the potential already exists. The problem is we have to trust a globalist. But if there was a globalist I was going to trust to any degree at all, it would be Elon Musk. I don't agree with brain implants and so forth, and we can have professional disagreements with people and still work with them. But what I do agree with Elon Musk on is he doesn't want this country destroyed. He's spoken out repeatedly against the southern border invasion. He's tired of the wokester policies wrecking kids' lives, perverting their views on life. Well, he's right on the money with a lot of the stuff he says. And I identify with him many, many, many times. He opened up Twitter to free speech. Twitter was a joke. How does an organization think they can ban the President of the United States? Yeah, Dorsey, you're a clown. You're an absolute ass clown for the way that you ran Twitter. And you will go down when Trump is back in the Oval Office as someone who tried and failed on behalf of evil people subjugating America. Now, having got that out of the way, supposedly Elon Musk and Donald Trump have been communicating through third parties and in person one time, and they're looking to have another meeting. Will Elon Musk, the world's second richest man, will he unveil a plan to finance, at least in part, the Trump campaign? My overwhelming wish is yeah and hell yeah. And sometimes too, we can look at globalists and the class of them like Bloomberg, Gates, you know who they are. They are pure evil through and through. I look at them and their lives and what they espouse and how they want to steal everything from us, subjugate us, take away our rights, shorten our lifespans. I look at those people with great disdain and disgust. and I know that they serve the evil one. I do not feel that about Elon Musk whatsoever. So my disagreements with Elon Musk, which aren't a whole lot, but they're on a purely professional level. He's not after my life. He's not trying to steal from me. He doesn't want to shorten my lifespan. I see no evidence to support any of that. But when you talk about Bloomberg and the rest, the clowns associated with the World Economic Forum, the clowns associated with the United Nations, the World Health Organization, I do feel that way. I am threatened by those people, and I will never subject my decision making in my life to their mandates in any way, shape, or form. And I hope that you will have the same resolve. But to Elon Musk, excuse me, if you make this happen with Donald Trump, you will have so many people in this nation indebted to you, grateful to you, willing to support you even more than they do now. I don't think Elon Musk can realize the benefits that'll come back. Look, I look at the numbers pretty clearly. I'm a statistician. I know how to do research. I know how to read the trends now. I've been doing this a long time, and I'm not alone in this, but I do feel I have a grasp. People say, how many poor people do you really think tr support Trump? I'll say this right now, 55 to 60% of the country firmly in Trump's camp. Now we have another 20% that are turning. And then we have 10% that are lukewarm. I would say at the end of the day, without election chicanery and fraud, Trump would easily get 70 to 75% of the vote in the biggest landslide victory in American history. I mean, look at Bud Light going broke, Target going broke. America's rejected this BS. And there's Trump saying, I'm here. Did you like my first 3.5 years before the scandemic? Or should I say the plandemic? And he was duped by his own people. You know, I think the song from The Who will describe Trump's second presidency. We won't get fooled again. And by the way, to those of you that think I'm overreacting with my fears about a Trump assassination, if they can't undo him legally and financially, the only thing I would say is this, is that when the governor of a state, a governor who I don't even trust, and Governor Abbott, comes out and strongly applies directed energy weapons caused the fires in Texas, which I wholeheartedly agree with, just the circumstantial evidence makes this act look suspicious. Texas defying the Supreme Court, Texas defying the Biden administration, Texas blocking immigrants, then all of a sudden they have the biggest fire in American history. You think that's a coincidence? So if you think I'm over-exaggerating about the threat to Trump, I think you better look at also what they did to Lahaina on August the 8th when they burned those people out unless you had a blue roof. That even Biden, in his moment of dementia, admitted, well, if you had a blue roof, you were safe. The hell would he say that for? You know, you would think they'd start keeping stuff like that from him so he stops putting his foot in his mouth. Wow, what crazy times we live in, ladies and gentlemen. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But today the sun shines brighter. Your children a little safer because the warmonger Nikki Haley is out. And now it looks like Elon Musk might be stepping up to help the rest of us by, at least in part, financing the Trump campaign. I can only pray that that's true. Hey, check us out over at thecommonsenseshow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we are going to talk to you about some economic issues this morning. You're being lied to at every level about the economy, how the economy works, and it's infiltrated the way our kids are educated now. Fortunately, when I took econ, I took any business classes, I was taught the truth. Today, we're taught trust the government. They know what they're doing. They control the resources and they'll decide who's happy and they'll make wise decisions. Oh, when I say that, I got to pick my words up so my feet aren't buried in you know what. We're brought to you by Fire Pit Mini. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a product that you really should not be without.
This product is so good. It can protect you from the terrorists that Biden and Mayorkas are letting into the country. It can't stop what they're going to do. It can't stop what the Chinese and Russians are going to do when they were taught how to take down our grid by Obama. And you go, oh, Dave, that's surprising. No, it's not. I covered it. So did my congressman. He came to my large church and made a great presentation on this. And no one wanted to pay attention. The year, I believe, was 2010. 14 years later, my former Congressman Trent Franks was right on the money. So was I. Now, what happened was they brought the Chinese and Russians in, said, this is grid extra, it's fake takedown. How we'll respond? We showed them how to do it. Now we have Hamas, Hezbollah, MS-13, Chinese soldiers in our country. Yeah. They're here, and we're saying, gee, we could have a grid down. I mean, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, came out and said that. 27 cities on the watch list. Yeah, because your boss is such a traitor to this country, he let these people in. And then Obama preceded him by teaching the countries how to do it. So we've covered that. What can you do? Well, there's a device called the Fire Pit Mini. It's fueled by things like leaves and logs and twigs, and you go, you've got to be kidding. No, I'm not. No propane, no natural gas, no oil, nothing. Everything that Biden is taking away from you in the name of cult science, all that right now is not needed. And you'll be able to cook, you'll be able to heat. It's portable, transportable, it's good. You go on an RV, think, hey, want to cook outside? You got it. Want to sit around a campfire and you don't know how to make fire, which only about 15% of us do? You'll be able to do it. It's a great, great deal, people. And it's low priced, and they're giving you 25% off with the coupon code HOLIDAY. And you go, whoa, this is absolutely amazing. And I'm telling you right now that this is the way that you want to go. Firepitmini.com is where you want to go. The coupon code is HOLIDAY. And right now, you're protected. Get it while you can. You ever had to bug out? It's one of the first things you would take. All right. We are going to talk to you about a topic. And I've entitled this From Steak to Hamburger to Dog Food and Slavery. This is what's going on right now. And it has to do with something called the Consumer Price Index, or what we loosely call the CPI. Now, a lot of people mistakenly, because the government lets you believe this lie because they don't correct the misconception, they want you to believe that every product is measured in the CPI and it's a re inflation rate is the true reflection. And nothing could be further from the truth. I knew this when I was 19 years old. And today I talk to college graduates in econ, and they don't know their head from their whoopo because they are taught this crap in college that government is doing the right thing with the money. They need to manage the economy. Yeah, if you want to live under Joseph Stalin, if you want to live under Mao Zedong, that's exactly what you want to do. The Consumer Price Index has a basket of goods they use to measure CPI. Back in the 70s, we had a more true measure, but it wasn't even accurate then. Back then, they didn't count food and gas. And you hear me joked about this before. The inflation rate, I mean, your gas could go to $10 a gallon tomorrow, and you would never, ever, ever see that reflected in the CPI. But if you raise the price of gas, it costs you more to go to work. You're taking home less money. And it makes other things more expensive too. And then food. So we don't have to drive to work and we don't have to eat. We're not measuring food. Now, what they've done with CPI and the CPI basket is they have some food in there now because people were just going nuts. They still don't count the cap price of gas because the oil companies are afraid of regulation. And you said, oh, because the people will realize how bad they're being ripped off by the government and big corporate. They demand action. Don't want that. So let's throw in the food. So they'll put things out there in the food basket and they'll say, oh, yeah, hey, look at this hasn't gone up. This has only gone up 2%. Your food bill, according to the experts, you go look at Shadow Stats. And I used to interview the developer of Shadow Stats often 10 years ago. What a great economist. And he'd tell us this is what you're really paying. And this is what they say you're paying for inflation. Let me give you an example of what they do with the food basket. You're eating steak, but to the moon, Alice can't afford the steak. So we'll substitute in hamburger for the steak. Well, Americans don't want to eat steak anymore. They're health conscious. So says the Surgeon General and the most trusted CDC, the kings of research. Okay, pardon my sarcasm. Now, so you've gone from steak to hamburger, but now the hamburger's going. Go to McDonald's. I remember a Happy Meal about 8 or 9 years ago cost under $5. Remember that? It's like 4.58. I think I looked that up the other day. 4.58. Happy Meal. Unbelievable. Today, you could be paying, like if you're in New York City, you're paying 18 bucks. If you're in Phoenix, you're gonna pay about 12. Even in rural America, where I like to visit quite a bit, you're paying between 10 and 12. Yeah, for hamburger. So you go from steak to hamburger. What's next? Dog food. Well, I gotta eat. So they take out the hamburger, and in the consumer price index basket, they put the dog food. What's next? Your enslavement. Money you used to have to buy some of the okay things to eat in life, now you've been reduced to the level of a serf. You're a subject. You're not a citizen. You're a plebe. You're not a person. And where has that excess money gone? It's a tax. See, that's what people don't understand. Inflation is how the government steals money from you. Now, for the purposes of math, because a lot of people have math phobia, so I'm going to keep this really simple, and I will not include compounding amounts, compound interest. And I just want to make this point before we close. Oh, gee, honey, look at the papers. Oh, Biden's doing a great job. Inflation is just at 4%. Yeah, even if that was the truth, and it's total bullshit, it's probably closer from 16 to 20%. And if you included everything, food inflation would be off the charts. Ask yourself when you go shopping, am I not right? So they say 4%. Oh, so let's say you have $100 in the bank in savings. Let that say that's a good amount for the day. You got $100. All right. So the inflation rate is 4%. But then you go, no, it's really not. It's 10%. Okay, so let's call it 10%, and that's conservative today. What's your $100 worth in a year? It's worth $90. What if the inflation rate stays the same? Government says it's 4, the true economists say it's 10, so we'll go with the true economists. So now you have how much money in the bank? Well, you had 90, okay, but you've got to lop off 10%. Now you have 81. That's year two. Okay, now you lose $8.20. So now you're down to 72.80. Do you get the idea? So in 3 years, you've lost how much of your buying power? About 30%? Oh, but inflation's low. I don't give a shit if it's 2%. It keeps you from growing. And where does that money go? The difference between what you should have and the real value of what your money can buy, which is what the CPI is supposed to be, and that's a lie. Okay. What happens is you can save and save and save and save, and you're never going to get ahead of the government because they create inflationary conditions by doing what? They take your money, they give it to their friends who give some of it back to them so they can get reelected. And who pays for these re-election campaigns? You do. with inflation. How do they get these programs? Well, they print money they don't have. And you're saying, uh-oh, I'm beginning to get it. Well, you're not done getting it. There's more to get. So now the government prints the money to create the bogus programs and investment deals that they hand off to their corporate friends that keep them elected. That's why lobbying is so profitable. But there's another step to this. Now that they've taken your money and they've inflated it, and it's left you for, in the form of inflation, but it's really a tax. How did it happen to get that way? How does the government have a right to print money they don't have? You can't do that. You go to jail. Right? Build a printing press in your basement. Start cranking out George Washington's and see how long it is before Merrick Garland and his goon squad from the FBI shows up and kicks in your door and points guns at your kids' heads. Won't take long at all. So what do they, how did they do that? Well, there was this little thing in 1913 called the creation of the Federal Reserve System. Let's take control of the American people's money and put it in private hands. Congress was supposed to be the elected body making financial decisions. That's why all expenditures come out of the House of Representatives. But the Federal Reserve took a lot of that power away. Now, here came the artificially created depression. Oh, it was. They knew it was coming. Do you remember when they asked Rockefeller, he's getting his shoes shined in Times Square, and they said to him, when did you realize the economy is going to crash? And how did you take your money out the day before it did crash in October? And he said, well, when my shoe shine guy was shining my shoes and asking me what stocks he should buy, I knew I was in the wrong business. That was total bogus BS. They all conspired to pull out at about the same time to collapse the economy. Now they collapse the economy, the people get desperate. Now they got to turn to the government so they can eat. There are no jobs left. The economy is basically gone. So what do? Well, they have to go off the gold standard so the government can print and print and print. And so now we create depression era programs like the Public Works Administration, the Civilian Conservation Corps, where people would go to work. But who was really making the money on this? No, it was the big corporates that had pulled out of the stock market and the banks that had failed. They had begun to come back and reinvest, partner with other regional banks, and then they took control of the situation and they made money on the depression. It's been said more millionaires were created in the depression than any other time in our history. And I'm telling you just how it happened and when it happened. Now, what did this lead to, though? How did the government have the right to print money? Well, because we were on the gold standard, we couldn't have done this being on the gold standard. You have this much gold allows you to print this much cash. But if you go off the gold standard, what's to restrain you from printing more cash? Now, that's the extra cash they gave to their little corporate friends because we were no longer on the gold standard. And you're saying, I get it. Do you really get what I'm saying here? Going off the gold standard. Remember, Roosevelt made it a crime for you to own gold. They'd come and throw your butt in jail. So gold went away, but not totally. In the private sector, gold really grew, and it became a lot more of a medium of exchange because the fiat currencies in the Depression era among the modern nations had basically evaporated. So they did precious metals trading, and precious metals backed a lot of the trades. Not necessarily between nations, but between corporations from one nation to another is overseen by their corporate or their government servants that they have installed. Now, let's go to the modern era. Because we were on no financial standard that made any sense, you don't have anything backing your money. We never got out of the depression. We just spent and spent and spent and spent. Well, okay, we need something to really stimulate the economy. We can't do Public Works Administration forever. So we got to make sure that a war starts. We can put people to work killing other people and making the weapons of war to kill other people. And the banks make a lot of money. And now the economy heats up and really starts to grow. Now, this is how America became a filthy rich nation. Stay tuned because this is really accurate history. I was taught this stuff as an undergraduate, and today you would never find an undergraduate professor teaching this unless that maybe they were at a private Christian university and allowed to tell the truth. So here is what ended up happening. They had the Bretton Woods Conference in 1943. And they knew that the Allies were going to win the war and they had outspent Hitler and the squeeze was on financially on Hitler and he wasn't able to secure oil fields in Russia when he invaded with his own stupidity. He wanted to grab the urban centers rather than the real resource he needed to maintain the war, which was oil. And so they knew that he was going to lose. And they attacked him on multiple fronts and Hitler had overextended and so forth. You get the idea. And they knew Japan would eventually, their economy wasn't strong enough to maintain a war against the United States, even if the U.S. was fighting a two-front war. And they knew that would eventually collapse. So they had a meeting in Bretton Woods, and they decided after the war, we're going to make the dollar the world's reserve currency. Oh, and you're saying, oh, Dave, that's what we're losing now. De-dollarization and going to the BRICS and using gold. Oh, gold. See, Putin can read a history book. He's destroying the American economy by turning the world to gold and ditching the American dollar reserve. Now, here's how this happened. This is how we got rich. Most of the nations of the world were barely industrialized or not industrialized at all. And they're going to need oil. So they made a deal with the Saudis and other Middle Eastern nations that you can only take purchases for oil in the dollar. So France and Germany and China and whoever else, you want to buy oil? You better go to the Federal Reserve and buy their dollar first. That gave your dollar the backing that it lost when it went off the gold standard. I hope that's going ding, ding, ding right now. And so from about 1946 to, I'd say, the first Iraq War, maybe tack on 5 years, the world reserve currency was good. And we could be really reckless in our spending because other nations were propping up that debt. And then China was all too happy to buy the debt so they could expand their economy, needing getting the oil that they need that they didn't have. And this is part of the way they did it. And we gave them favorable deals on the dollar so they could buy oil on the cheap, but keep making our cheap goods because we're going to send you our jobs because we can pay Chinese people probably about one tenth of what we pay an American worker. Now, who's getting rich off that? It ain't the American worker. It's the American corporation. Now, we're back to Depression era time. We don't have much backing our dollar anymore. And Biden's middle name is spend, spend, spend. Doubt that he could spend it or spell it, right? Oh, he's not fit enough to stand trial, but he could be our president in time of war. But anyway, this is where we're at today. We have gone from off the gold. Let me give you another thing here to understand. From 1812, and we got rid of the First National Bank, Federal Reserve number one. We tried Federal Reserve number two under Andrew Jackson. He got rid of it very cleverly. And they did try to assassinate him. Well, it's something you have to really dig into to read, but it's true. The Europeans wanted him dead because they were behind this move. And I do believe it was the Europeans that killed the Rothschilds that killed Lincoln because of the greenback dollar. And he wouldn't buy into the Rothschild Empire. You'll do what we tell you economically. And I think that's why he was killed. So we went from 1812, with those minor exceptions, to 1913 with the creation of the Federal Reserve. Now, this is really getting interesting here because this is really something important to understand. In 1812, a dollar bought a dollar. Makes sense, right? In 1913, a dollar still bought a dollar. Now, there were fluctuations. We had a depression in the 1890s, and then there was a post-war recession after the Civil War, and we spent more money than we should have to subdue Native Americans and steal their land. And so this all happens. But with the ebb and flow, a dollar 100 years after 1812 is still worth $100. Care to guess today what your money is worth? A dollar from 1913 to today is worth about 3 cents. And that may be an overestimate. Now, it's how do they fund this? Inflation, inflation, inflation. All we do is print money we don't have. We try to keep it to manageable amounts. That's what the Federal Reserve gets to set the interest rates, right? They determine how much money gets borrowed, how much gets invested, what the dividends are likely to be when you take things out and realize your profit. That all is a factor. And you're saying, I get it. I know right now a lot of you are saying, I get it. I get it. You live in a total managed fascist socialist economy, fascist corporate government. Okay. Government corporate, that's fascism. And then it's socialism is government's making all the financial decisions. I mean, what got us through COVID? The government spending massive amounts of money that they did not have. Right? And they wouldn't allow evictions. And I'm not saying they should have or shouldn't have. That's not my argument. But they wanted to keep the people from rebelling. If you're out on the street, you're picking up a gun, probably, and you're going to fight back. But they avoided all that because landlords couldn't collect rent. They couldn't evict. I mean, you could just say, screw you, I don't have the money. And it was the CDC that made the policy. When did the CDC become Congress? And it wasn't until towards the end of COVID did the corrupt Supreme Court finally say, you got to stop. They should have said stop on day one, but they were in on it. But then they had to preserve some of their institutional dignity by coming back and saying, ah, we don't think you should do that. That is unconstitutional. You can't tell someone that someone could live in your property for free. Oh, but we're doing it again with squatters and illegals, aren't we? Remember, I covered that story, 1,200 homes in Atlanta now occupied by illegal alien squatters, and the people can't do anything about it. It's their property. Okay, I think you see where this is going. We're going to do a piece later tonight, inflation versus deflation. The government would have you believe that deflation is the most poisonous arsenic that there is. Inflation can be a little painful, but it ain't as bad as the other. And you know, the truth of the matter is, they're lying their butts off to you. And then tonight, I'm going to go through and I'm going to tell you how that's a lie. They are using your money to build their wealth, to create technology, to enslave you so they can grab all your wealth. And we're going to do another piece on that part and tell you how they're doing it. And I got to tell you, there's only a few economists out here who are even talking about these things. Yet I'm telling you, most of what I know from this is when I got my history undergrad, is one of the degrees I had as an undergrad. When I got a lot of economics education, sociology enters into these areas, and sociology was another one of my undergraduate degrees. I didn't get into research and stat until after I was the graduate level at psychology. And then I got into research and stat because someone asked me to teach it, and I got fairly proficient at it. I've been lucky, not that I'm smart, I'm not saying that at all, but I've been lucky to combine history, econ, sociology, okay, the psychology of things, and research and stat, how to really decipher data. I mentioned shadow stats, best group out there for this. Now, I hope you're saying, I kind of understand this. I didn't know a lot of this before, but what you're saying makes sense. Educate yourself because when you do, you'll start to see why I say almost every day, you need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. And someday I'll go through and I'll talk about each one of those items in a presentation. Because if you don't get out of this economy now and you don't get into a parallel economy, you're going to get crushed by what they want to do to you. And this is a plan to steal everything you have. And I'll say that probably three or four more times today. Klaus Schwab was honest. The little Nazi came out and said, you learn nothing and love it. And then what did his number two guy, the weirdo, Harari, what did he say? Free will is a thing of the past. They're telling you the truth. And the sooner you realize it, the sooner you can start to protect yourself. We'll see you back here next time.